Strange and Charming, a podcast by physicists about life in science.
So we are recording. So welcome everyone to this episode of the CRC podcast. My name is Anton, and I will be talking to Eleftheria today about her life as a scientist and about her perspective on academia. So welcome, Eleftheria.
Yeah, hi, thank you very much for the invitation. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you on. So Eleftheria, please tell us a bit about who you are, where you are working currently, what you're working on maybe.
Sure. So as you said, my name is Eleftheria Malami. I'm originally from Greece. I'm a theoretical particle physicist. I work here in Siegen as a postdoc. This is actually my first postdoc. So I mostly work on the field called flavor physics. So it's the field that studies the phenomena that are related to transitions between different elementary particle species. This is what we call flavors. And we try to go beyond the standard model, since we know that standard model is a very successful theory, yet incomplete because there are some phenomena that it cannot explain, like the matter antimatter asymmetry. What we do is that we use a specific tool, a particle called B-meson, and studying the decays of the B-mesons, we try to search for hints of new physics, thus to go beyond the standard model. And in order to do that, we use quantum field theory techniques, and we perform calculations studying these decays of the B-mesons. We do it in an indirect way, go to the highest precision, and we confront the theoretical calculations with very precise measurements. So we really bring the theory and the experiment together. And fortunately, nowadays, we do have a lot of data. And in these experimental data sets, you might find discrepancies between the theoretical predictions and the measured values. So providing theoretical interpretations of these measurements, we are able to go beyond the standard model and to come up with an answer to the question, are all these discrepancies really signals of new physics? So this is, in a nutshell, what I'm mostly working on.
Yeah, okay, that was a very good description. So currently at Siegen for your first postdoc.
Exactly.
So this means you have done a PhD probably, and maybe also undergraduate degrees and master degrees. So yes. Would you like to tell the listeners about where you started your physics journey?
So I had my bachelor's degree back in Athens in Greece. And right after that, I moved to the Netherlands. I had my master's in Amsterdam at University of Amsterdam. To be honest, I started a bit more in the experimental side. So I was started with the nuclear physics. So I was mostly on the low energy scales. And when I had to choose for my master's, I picked a topic that specifically brought the subatomic scales together with the cosmic scales, because I was finding it fascinating just to be able to combine these things.
Okay, so this was in Amsterdam then, and then you did a bit more experimental stuff back in Greece, is that right?
Yes. So I started working at the last year of my bachelor thesis. For my bachelor thesis, I was working at experiments in Demokritos, which is like the National Institution of Subatomic Physics in Greece. And I was mostly working on measuring cross sections of specific decays at energies that were specifically interested for astrophysical researches. Mm-hmm. So when I had to choose for my master's, the topic that I chose was mostly related to gravitational astroparticle and particle physics. So that's how I started working in Amsterdam. But having also classes that were a bit more theory-oriented, like quantum field theory or flavor physics stuff, that's still more phenomenology, I found myself interested in these topics a bit more. So I switched more to the theory side. Uh-huh. And during the second year of my master's in Amsterdam, I chose to work on flavor physics, so specifically on B-meson decays for my thesis. And this is when I started seeing that I was really interested in this topic. So right after my master's, I continued also in Amsterdam at MICIF, working on the same topic for my PhD. Mm-hmm. And here I am today as a postdoc.
Awesome. On the same topic. So would you say that it's kind of the topic that drove you to going to Amsterdam already for your master's?
Yes, exactly.
It's a big step to move countries already at this point.
That's true, yes. To be honest, I always had in mind that after the bachelor's, I really wanted to move abroad. I really wanted to, you know, also to see different countries, different mentalities, different cultures. So I had in mind that I wanted to move abroad. But of course, the main motivation was the master's project itself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it sounds great. So then it was kind of a natural extension to go then from your master's right to NICEF for your PhD.
Yes,
that's a bit of a smaller step, but a natural one.
I mean, I really wanted after my bachelor's to move abroad, really to have different experience, to see different mentalities and different cultures, and Amsterdam seemed to be the place for these things.
Okay, and then you came to Siegen now, and you've been here for about a year, you said?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right, awesome. So maybe moving on to a bit more, you already told us a bit about your scientific project, but maybe a bit more generally, like what does it mean for you to be a theoretical particle physicist? I think a lot of people may not know too much about this field, so would you say that it's a very diverse field? Like, how does your topic compare to other people in the CRC? We have had a few other people being interviewed. Can you like relate to the research that other people are conducting?
Okay, especially in Siegen, there are a lot of people working on flavor physics, and they have a very strong community related to flavor physics and to theoretical particle physics. And that was also one of the main reasons I moved here. So career-wise, of course, Siegen is the place to be if you want to have theoretical particle physics. The collaboration with the other universities also works really well. I find it really interesting that you can just discuss to all the professors, to all the senior members and the senior PIs, and you can, of course, combine their knowledge or their slightly different expertise than your own field and expand your knowledge and expand your own research topic. So it's really easy, to evolve and to work different aspects of a field. So that's really nice.
All right, so there's kind of a natural collection of people working on somewhat similar things, but you still feel that you can still kind of understand what other people in the collaboration are doing.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And especially in Siegen, you see that there's a flat hierarchy. It's super easy just to go to someone's office, just start asking questions, discuss a bit more about their topic, analyze your topic, just come up with questions, finding answers to your problems. And everybody here is super friendly, very helpful. So it's a very nice environment.
That's very good. It's very much in the spirit of modern collaborative science. So how about like a typical day for you in Siegen? What are you usually up to? Is it only pen and paper, as some people may see, like theoretical physicists? Or like what do you do a normal day?
Well, you do have a lot of calculations for sure. You use a lot of coding. I mean, this is part of the daily life. It's not only writing down your calculations. You have to make visualizations, or you have to perform difficult calculations that it's not always easy just to do using your pen and paper. And for the rest, I mean, you always have things like checking the archive, being updated, just seeing the updates on your field. As I said before, discussing with the other members of the group about questions that you have, about a topic that you find interesting.
Mm-hmm. So do you work mostly like on your own, or is it actually mostly in teams, so in different collaborations?
I mean, there's a part that you have to study, you have to understand, you have to work on your specific part. But then, of course, it's always the collaboration because you have the brainstorming sessions, you have you need to discuss with the others in order to exchange knowledge, to exchange ideas. At the end of the day, it's this nice interaction that you have with the others that help you to identify a problem and to come up with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, it's always like 50-50 thing. You have to work on your own for the calculations and for you to understand the topic. And then, of course, you have to discuss further with the other peoples in the community and then to really gain something from their knowledge, to provide some information that you have learned. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sounds very good. So are there maybe some other parts of your work that is not just purely scientific work? I have, for example, seen that you are one of the young science representatives of the collaboration. Is this something that takes up a lot of your time? Is this something you enjoy doing?
Yes, I mean, that's really nice because, first of all, you give the opportunity to the other younger scientists to have a person to discuss issues that they might come up with. And then you work as a bridge between your colleagues and senior members. And you can easily, discuss the issues that you and your colleagues might have, discuss. You can communicate nicely with the PIs and you can...
Yeah. So as a young science representative, are you involved with other outreach work as well?
So there are a lot of activities related to the CRC, and it's also nice just to have this collaboration with the other universities.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is that we have annually the Young Science Meeting. So we gather all the young scientists and most of the PIs at the universities, and we have a small conference style meeting where the younger scientists can nicely present their work in an informal setting, which is also nice for them just to practice on giving presentations and of course on introducing their work to the other to our other colleagues at other universities. So it's easier to see what your colleagues are working on. It's easier to present your results and your work to them. So it's a nice way of communicating, and it makes collaboration much easier.
Yeah, right. And now it's coming up in only a couple of weeks, right? And it's
exactly.
Actually taking place in
yes,
Siegen
yes.
This year. Yeah.
Siegen,
so I
yes.
guess you have been involved a lot in planning for this.
Exactly. So administration thing for organizing an event is also something that you have to do, you know, in academia. So apart from having your own research, you also have these outreach things. In some cases, there are also teaching duties. At the moment, I'm not having any teaching activities, but of course, this is something that a PhD or a postdoc is also engaged to.
Yeah, sounds like a very diverse working day to and a very full working day to have time for all of these things.
Exactly.
So
a lot of different tasks.
So right. So moving on a bit from your work day to maybe more a more general topic. So what a lot of people talk about in science is always like this life in academia and the pros and cons of an academic career is quite a special thing. It's a bit of a commitment. A lot of people are doing long degrees and moving around a lot, which you have already told us has been part of your experience. So like in your mind, what are the main pros and maybe also cons of living like a life as a researcher in this way?
Well, To be honest, as I have only worked in academia, I cannot really compare with other jobs, for example, in industry. But I have to say that so far, despite all the issues that people, you know, normally discuss, and they are right about the insecurity or traveling a lot, not having a lot of permanent positions or taking a lot of years before being able to get a permanent position or things like salaries. So despite all these issues, I had so far a very nice experience. And working in the Netherlands and now in Germany, I was lucky enough to have always a very nice working environment, an environment where I felt very secure and very happy to work with. Also, the salaries was really good in both countries. So you didn't really feel that that maybe choice outside academia would be more beneficial. And when you really like research, I mean, when you love this process of discussing with people, brainstorming, trying to come up, you know, solutions to difficult problems, this is an environment that really provides you all these things. And I still find it really nice and really fascinating.
Right. So some obstacles to overcome, but it's all worth it in the end, I suppose.
I guess every job has pros and cons, right? So at the end of the day, as long as you really enjoy what you do, I think you can find a nice way for these things to work.
So you have been now in science for at least a few years for both your master's and PhD and so forth, and now in Siegen as well. So have you seen any like improvements or any changes in terms of work-life balance or like job security? Have you noticed any differences?
I mean, again, I will say that I was super lucky, and in the institutions I have worked so far, everything went smoothly. People were always respecting this work-life balance thing. So that was really nice because, of course, you don't have a very standard kind of schedule. It's not like an office work that, you know, it's between 9 and 5 and that's the end. You can just manage your own working time. I mean, of course, there are days that you just need to work more, but it's really important just to remember to take some breaks. It's important just to also have other activities outside academia in order to maintain a healthy environment.
Mm-hmm. A bit of work-life balance.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Having hobbies, having things outside academia that make you feel, you know, that help you refresh your mind, it's always really nice.
Right. So another part of academia is that there is usually quite a lot of travel involved. Mm-hmm. There is all kinds of conferences or workshops. Maybe in your early career, you go to summer schools and so on. Has this been a big part for you? Like, what is your experience with experiencing different places?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you travel a lot for all the different conferences, for all the schools, as you mentioned. But this is also the nice thing of your job, mm-hmm. because you have the opportunity, of course, to build a better networking, to meet people that it's not always so easy unless you really visit a different institution to meet different professors and different postdocs and PhDs. While you do have this opportunity when you travel for these conferences. And of course, it's always really nice just to have the opportunity to discuss about a lot of different people's projects, to see other topics, and then also to do that in a different setting, in a different environment. It's nice because you always keep part of the culture of the country that organizes or hosts the specific institute every time. So that's also really nice.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. It's definitely more of a pro than anything. So
of course, it can be tiring sometimes, but still, I think that you gain much more.
Mm-hmm. So maybe also on this topic of like life as a researcher, would you say that there is a special type of person that is especially good for like fitting into this life extra well, or does this not matter so much about like personal qualities and so on? Because as you said, you work a lot in collaborations and teams and so forth. Then there are people who maybe prefer to work a bit more individually. Is there place for both of this in science, in your mind and in your experience?
Well, I think, okay, first of all, if we are really talking about the theory part, I think it's a bit easier, it's a bit more flexible in the sense that you always have smaller collaborations, there are smaller groups, and it's a bit easier just maybe to fix your own time schedules, maybe to fix the own your own way of working in this collaboration. I guess it might be a bit more standard and a bit less flexible when it comes to the experimental side, because there right. you're talking about bigger groups, bigger collaborations, so it might work a bit differently. But in general, I think that academia offers you this kind of flexibility no matter where you are. So I think that you don't really need a specific type of person. As long as you enjoy the topic and the research, it's easy to find, you know, to find a way to survive in this environment. Uh-huh.
Sure. So maybe just finally, before moving on from this, do you already have some kind of idea of where you want to go next? Now you're only in your first year here in Siegen, so maybe that's difficult to say already. But would you say that you have like a clear career path laid out? Is this common, or is it more like take it year by year to see what happens?
Well, I think it's still a bit early to start thinking about the next step. I do know that I really enjoy working in academia. So in principle, I'd love to be able to continue and to stay in academia. So I think that I will aim after that for another similar position. But I think I can just, you know, wait a few months before starting really thinking about the next step.
Right. Yeah. Kind of similar to the flexible working hours. It's usually seen as a con in academia to have so many hours, but they are also quite flexible, and your life is also quite flexible in terms of your future. Okay, so I guess we are actually quite close to the end. So we have been allowed to hear a bit about your life as a researcher and your perspective. You have had quite a diverse experience, I would say, in several different countries and several different subfields of your topic. So maybe just before closing, is there anything you would like to say to the listeners, like maybe some recommendation or tip, since you have already gone through all of your degrees and already started your postdoc? What has helped you the most? Is there any particular skill or any particular experience you would highlight that has been beneficial?
Well, it's really difficult to say, because of course you gain a lot of different skills and you can always use these things even outside academia. And of course you can always bring things from outside academia at the level of research and university. I still think that the most important thing is to really try to find a good work-life balance and to still keep doing things that, you know, keep you alive in some sense, that keep you really happy. So for me, also having studied on top of physics, I have also studied music, so I'm playing the piano and I'm an opera singer. And even now, when I just have a small break from work, I can still practice this, and it really helps you, you know, to refresh your mind and just to take a break for work. And it helps you to get back to work pretty refreshed after that. So it's also nice to keep a good work-life balance and to also have a hobby that helps you and that it boosts you to continue on a fresh mind, you know, getting back to work happy.
Absolutely. Well, with that, we have reached the end. So I want to thank you very much, Eleftheria, for joining us and doing
an
episode
here.
Thank
you very much for the invitation.
So, and also thanks all the listeners. And I hope you have a very nice day. Bye.
This podcast was funded by the German Research Foundation through the Collaborative Research Center Transregio 257 P³H, Particle Physics Phenomenology After the Higgs Discovery.